The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes hits theaters this weekend, and you know what? I'm already excited for the sequel, which I'm pretty sure is named Battle for the Conquest of the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and then we'll just go from there. This video is brought to you by Storyworth. Go to storyworth.com/Merle for a special offer, and stay tuned after the review for more info. Hello everybody, I'm Dan Merle, and this is my review of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the second movie in the summer movie season, but the one that most people are hoping really kicks us into high gear after The Fall Guy fell short last weekend. This edition of The Planet of the Apes is from director Wes Ball, who directed all three Maze Runner films. The screenplay is from Josh Friedman, who created Apple TV's Foundation, and the short-lived but still beloved Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles. The new Planet of the Apes film seems to come to a definitive end with 2017's War for the Planet of the Apes, but Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes gets around that by picking up several generations after Caesar's time, when he and his philosophies have turned into legend, humans roam freely as dumb wild animals, and apes have settled into their place as rulers of the, well, the planet.
They get cold. Show mercy.
Our new lead ape is Noah, played via motion capture by Owen Teague. Noah's tribe is a peaceful one devoted to raising birds and communing with nature, but that peace is threatened by the rise of a new ape king named Proximus, who wants to rule the apes who rule the world. In my recent review of Abigail, I said that it was pleasant to see Kevin Durand playing a role that wasn't as villainous as a lot of the roles that we've seen him play in the past. Well, he makes up for lost time in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes because he plays Proximus again through motion capture, and he is one ruthless dictator made all the worse by the fact that he's doing everything that he's doing in Caesar's name.
Say his words!
What a wonderful day!
Other cast members include The Witcher's Freya Allen as May, a young human who shows a spark of intelligence unusual on this planet of the apes, The Orville's Peter Macon as Raka, an orangutan who seeks to spread Caesar's message of peace, not war, and William H. Macy as Proximus's human history expert, surviving through serving the enemy. I was immensely skeptical of making a fourth film in this series because I thought that the last three films did such a great job of telling the rise of the apes and the extinction, or at least near extinction, of humanity. And part of me said, well, how could you possibly top that? That story was so well done. And I have to say that this movie both exceeded my expectations, but also confirmed some of my worst fears. When it comes to the ape side of things, this movie really surprised me in how it spun the story off. If you go back to the old Planet of the Apes sequels, they stayed pretty constrained as far as what apes they were focusing on. Caesar's bloodline was pretty much the one that you focused on. It only went, I think, one or two generations beyond the original apes that you met in the first film. And I was worried that they were going to do that here, that they were going to be riffing again on Caesar's kids or the kids of his kids. But by jumping ahead several generations, they're actually able to do something a lot more interesting, which is to explore the legacy of Caesar. What happens to somebody who was so meaningful and yet has now completely vanished and has nobody left even on the planet who lived at the same time as that person, or in this case, that ape? On the one hand, we have Proximus, who has completely co-opted everything Caesar stood for, using his lessons, like apes together strong, as a rallying cry to enslave and subjugate his fellow apes. And on the other hand, we have Raka and his almost godlike reverence for Caesar, having devoted his entire life to spreading Caesar's true teachings and trying to help that take hold. I love what the movie did with this and how it explores how innate good can be transformed into evil, how a legacy can be distorted for personal gain, and also how history becomes warped with the passage of time. I think it was actually the perfect way for this movie to stay in continuity with the other films and yet move beyond them and tell a different story. And if that had been the sole focus of the story, I think this movie very well could have stood with the best of the previous three films in the series. But there is also a human element to this movie, and it's here that I think it makes its biggest missteps. The interesting ape storyline is gradually sidelined to make room for another storyline that feels far more familiar and leads to an action climax that's entertaining, but feels somewhat generic. In addition, the movie leaves some doors open that I worry will lead to a rehashing of ground that's already been covered. I mean, the point of the last three movies was that man's time is over, and now it's time for the apes to rule, and I was hoping that this movie would go entirely in that direction, but it seems like the franchise isn't quite sure the extent to which it's done with humanity. I think it's potentially the wrong decision, and it could kill some of the interest that I have in future movies if you are sidelining the ape storyline or making it compete with some kind of a humanity storyline that just seems like it's been there, done that. It also probably doesn't help that Freya Allen doesn't give my favorite performance in the movie as our main human character. One thing that remains consistent are the excellent performances from the ape actors. Each ape is given a distinct personality and a soulful performance that speaks through the visual effects. I don't think it's a level of performance that you could get with digital effects alone. I think that the motion capture in these movies is crucial to making these apes believable as characters in this movie and especially in the last three films with Andy Serkis leading the charge as Caesar, as well as the other actors who played apes in those movies. It's one reason why I think that motion capture performance should be considered on the same level as regular performance, I guess you'd call it, or performance with a human actor that you see on screen. It's still acting and it's still inhabiting a character, and I think it's just as crucial as the humans that we see in this movie or any other movie. The visual effects are also top-notch. Some of the early trailers had me concerned about a potential quality drop in the VFX, but the final work continues the legacy of those original three movies, even if nothing here really exceeds the work that was done in those movies. It's actually really rare that a movie both alleviates my fears and confirms them at the same time, and it makes it a little tough when I'm deciding my final opinion on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, because there was stuff that I really liked and there was some stuff that I wasn't as much of a fan of. But when I look at the totality of it, I think that the good in general outweighs the bad, and the stuff that I liked, I really, really liked, especially the direction that they took with the ape storyline. And that balance of good really is enough for me to push the movie into the it's good category on my sliding scale. For a while, I thought it was going to be up there in that see it now, but the third act just kind of dragged everything down for me. It did get, though, when you look at the progression of this franchise, I think over halfway towards where it needed to go, and maybe when the creatives and the executives that are in charge of this franchise, if there are going to be more movies, kind of look back at everything, perhaps they'll say, hey, you know, maybe we should go a little bit stronger in this direction, because I think that a lot of people might feel the same way that I do. Maybe not. Maybe some people won't mind some of the more generic action beats in addition to the advancements that we have in the ape storyline. But when it comes down to it, we've had a lot of movies with humans in it, both inside and outside of the Planet of the Apes series, and I think that it is time to allow the apes to truly rule this planet. We'll see what it does as far as ruling the box office as well. My very unscientific method says that I think it should have a better result than we saw with The Fall Guy last week. My early screening of The Fall Guy had, I think, 4 people in it. This screening of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes had about 40 people, and it wasn't a critic screening, it was a ticketed public screening. So I do think that public interest is heavier with this film, and of course you can stay tuned right here on the channel for Charts with Dan on Monday. We're going to break down the opening of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, but what do you think? Is this going to be your kickoff to the summer movie season? Let me know down in the comments below. And before we go, I want to thank the sponsor for this review, Storyworth. We're coming up on Mother's Day here in the US, and there are some stories about my mom's life that I just love to hear. Whether it's stuff from before I was born or from when I was a kid, knowing my family history helps me to know myself better. Just in time for Mother's Day, I have the perfect gift that captures all of her stories for my family forever, and it's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or anyone in your family for years to come. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like what their grandparents were like, or where they were when we landed on the moon, or for my mom, what the toughest part of raising me was. All your loved one needs to do is respond to their question prompt email with a story, long or short, it doesn't matter. After a year of fun and questions, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I have a book already from my mom that's packed with stories, some of which I'd heard before, some of which I didn't even know, and it's something that I will keep forever. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/Merle. That's StoryWorth.com/Merle to save $10 on your first purchase. Thanks to StoryWorth for sponsoring this review, and thank you for watching. Be sure to stay tuned right here for more movie news, reviews, box office, and more. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.